Our Father, we thank you for that invitation. We thank you, Lord, that if you invite us to come, that you will in no wise cast us out. We thank you, Father, that as we come repentant before you, that you cleanse and restore and rebuild and renew. The name of Jesus Christ, your Son. We love you, Father. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to indwell us, to enable us, to comfort us, to build us up in the things of God. We thank you, Father, that greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. We thank you, Father, that you have caused us to be your sanctuaries. You have caused our bodies to be temples of your Holy Spirit, that you don't dwell in houses that are made by hands, but you dwell in human houses. You dwell in hearts and lives of the people who love you and who serve you and who believe on your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you are in our midst today because you said that you would never leave us nor ever forsake us. We thank you for the manifestation of your presence today, Father. In Jesus' lovely name. Now, Father, there are some here today that have special needs. And Lord, I just believe that you want to meet every one of them. And that there isn't anything that's too great for you to do. For you said in your word that your arm was not shortened, that it couldn't save, nor that it could not deliver. We know, our Father, that healing belongs to us because of the sacrifice of Christ. That freedom from poverty and despair belongs to us because you meet all of our needs by your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. That liberty and freedom from oppression and sadness and loneliness and all of the oppression of the enemy, that freedom from those things and liberty in God belongs to us as the children of God. And Father, right now, while every eye is closed, we're going to lift our hands before you, Father, those of us who have needs. And by our uplifted hand, Father, we ask you to look into our heart, to know that need, look into our life and our situation, our circumstance, and know that need that we have today, Father. And we ask you to supply it in Jesus' name. Healing where that is needed, deliverance where that is needed, liberty where that is needed, salvation where that is needed, a closer walk with you, Father, where that is needed. Revelation and understanding in the things of God and wisdom where that is needed. Guidance and direction where that is needed. Fathers, we've gathered here together in Jesus' name. In your presence, we ask you to meet every single need. Let not a person leave today, Father, with an unmet need. Now we wait upon you, Father, for you to minister. Ask that you speak quietly to your people in the Spirit, in their spirit. Speak personally and individually, Father, if you will, to each and every one in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bless your holy name, Lord. Bless your holy name, Lord. Bless your holy name. Now, Father, we receive from you your blessings and our needs met. We thank you for what you're doing among us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just sing the chorus with me. You can just stay seated if you like. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh.
Thank you. Me too.
I will exalt him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just share something with you the Lord just impressed upon me while they were singing. They're singing the song of Moses, which is out of the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus. And they were singing about the right hand of God. About God's right hand. Now, I don't know how many of you know what the right hand of God is. But over and over in the Word, over and over in the Scripture, the Bible talks about the right hand of God did this. God did this by His right hand. The right hand did so and so. They were singing out of Exodus 15. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And we read earlier today out of the 118th Psalm. I don't know if you picked it up or not or noticed it. Well, I guess we didn't read that verse. In verse 16. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. All right? Then if you'll just turn over to the book of Hebrews, in the first chapter of Hebrews, the first three verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness, that is His Son, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The right hand of God has a name. The right hand of the Lord is a person. The right hand of the Lord is in power. The right hand of the Lord is the one that doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is the one that always triumphs. The right hand of the Lord is named Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the right hand of the Lord. You see that? All through the Word of God. When you see that, the right hand of the Lord, 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 the right hand of the Lord. Jesus is the right hand of the Lord. He's the one, you see, that's at God's right hand. That's who the Word of God's talking about. If you want to see Jesus in the Old Testament, just look for the right hand of the Lord. That's who He is. Hallelujah. Praise God. And now let us bring our offerings and our tithes unto God and unto His good right hand. We're going to sing that chorus. If you'll stand, please. And if you need the words, it's hymn number 397, I Will Serve Thee. We'll sing that as the ushers will bring the offerings forward. We do thank you, Jesus, for the new life that you've given us. You took our heartaches and our broken pieces and our ruined lives because that's your specialty. And you gave us a new life, a glorious life, a victorious life, an overcoming life. And we want you to be enabled to give that same life to others. We want others to hear the truth about Jesus. We want others to be led to receive that wonderful new life and to have that ruined life turn into a victorious, glorious life. And we've brought our offerings and our tithes unto you today, Lord, that you might use these funds to see that that is done. And in so doing, you make us a part of it. Lord, we dedicate these offerings and these gifts to your work and to your kingdom. We invite you to use them in the way that you see fit, the way that will bring the greatest return and bear the most fruit in the kingdom of God. We believe you to do that, Father, and we thank you for the privilege of making these offerings and bringing these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew. To the 21st chapter. This is Palm Sunday, the church calendar. How many of you know what happened on Palm Sunday? What we celebrate on Palm Sunday and what that's all about? Let me see your hands. All right, good. I want to talk about that a bit this morning and share out of the Word of God the story of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem by the Lord on Palm Sunday. 1 week before he was raised from the dead. The Sunday prior to his crucifixion. This week between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday is the last week that Jesus of Nazareth spent on earth as a flesh and blood man. When he rose from the dead, he spent 40 days on the earth as a flesh and bone man. But his blood had been shed and had been carried into the heavenly tabernacle and been deposited there once and for all, making atonement for your sins and for mine and for the sins of the whole world. But this week that we're entering into now is the week that we observe the last few days of our Lord on the earth. I want to read, beginning at the first verse out of Matthew 21. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. The disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. The multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? The multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now let us pray before we begin to minister from the Word. Just ask God to give utterance in the Spirit and to give guidance. Father, we declare your word for what it is, the word of God, inspired by you and given for our benefit and our profit. We thank you, Father, that your word is not subject to any private interpretation, but that it is clearly interpreted to us elsewhere in the scriptures. We thank you, Father, for your promise that your word is not void when it returns, and that it is prosperous and it does accomplish that for which you intended it. And we acknowledge this morning, Father, that you have a prosperous work for this passage of your word to accomplish today and the declaration of it. And we come before your word in anticipation and in eagerness and in expectation for you to speak to us directly and specifically a word from God. Now, Father, I'd yield myself as a vessel and a channel of your ministry today. I invite you to use my lips and my mouth and my spirit, my mind and my body and my whole being to declare to the people of God the word of God. You are the great shepherd. You're the one that knows where the green pastures are. You're the one that knows where the fresh waters are. And I ask you, Father, to lead us today into those green pastures and to the fresh water. Speak to us today, our Father, thus saith the Lord. Allow us to hear the voice of God deep down on the inside of us. I thank you for the privilege of ministering your word. I know you're going to do as we ask, for we set ourselves in agreement on it. In Jesus' name, amen. From the time we are this big, if we've been in church at all around the Easter season at any rate, we know something about Palm Sunday. We know that that's the day that Jesus sent two of his disciples into a neighboring village, and he said, go in there and you're going to find the colt of a donkey that's never had anybody on him before. It's an unbroken colt, and I want you to bring him to me, and I'm going to use him to ride into Jerusalem. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover, the celebration of the Jewish Passover, in which they celebrated their exodus out of Egypt. They had done this every year since Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. When they ate the Feast of the Passover, they remembered that God Almighty had caused them while they were still in slavery and in bondage, every family to take a lamb, a Passover lamb, a pure, unblemished lamb, bring him into the house, treat him like a pet, and then kill him, take his blood, and give it as an offering unto God, and eat the flesh. Jesus, being a Jew, being a descendant of Abraham, a prophet under the law of Moses, was going into Jerusalem to observe the Passover. His disciples had no way of knowing that he was the Passover. The disciples had no way of knowing that his blood, once and for all, would be applied to the doorpost of men's and women's hearts so that no longer would blood ever be spilt for the remission of sins. His disciples didn't know that. All they were doing was following instructions. Jesus said, go get the colt and bring him to me. I always wondered why some of the things happened that day that did. Why did the disciples, after they went and got the colt, first of all, why did they have to have a colt? Secondly, why after they did so, we're going to have some fun here, aren't we, huh? We get tangled up in my leash. Why, after they had found the colt, why did they put their clothes on him? Why did they throw their clothes up on top of him? Now, have you ever wondered why they laid palm branches down on the road as Jesus was going into Jerusalem that day? Why the multitude laid those down? Why did they cry out the things they cried out? Hosanna! Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Why did it happen that way? Why didn't he ride a horse? A great, white, glorious, grand horse. Why didn't they put a saddle on that horse, studded with silver and studded with gold? Why didn't they line the streets with a red carpet for him? I began to search the scripture about that to see why it was important that these things happened that happened. In your bulletin today is reproduced the scripture out of the book of Zechariah, the 9th chapter, the 9th verse, where the prophet Zechariah prophesied hundreds of years before the coming of Christ, saying, "Rejoice, O Jerusalem. Rejoice greatly it is, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." When Jesus sent for the colt, he fulfilled prophecy. He fulfilled what Zechariah had spoken hundreds of years earlier, that when the king of Jerusalem would come, that he would come not on a white charger, he would come on the colt of an ass. And when Jesus came, that's the way he came, lowly and meek, on a donkey colt. He didn't come like a commander. Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. To the 9th chapter. In the 13th verse. This 9th chapter of the book of 2 Kings is the story of the anointing of King Jehu, king over Israel. And I want you to see just out, we'll not read the whole story, I want you to see just the 13th verse. "Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king." Something that I didn't know is that it was customary to lay your clothes down for the king to sit on. Now, someone may know why that's true. I don't really know why it's true. All I know is that when they anointed kings under the old covenant, that's what they did. They laid their garments down and the king sat on them. All right, now turn, if you will, to the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. We just look at several scriptures here, and then I think we can bring it all together. Leviticus chapter 23. Verse number 40. Now, this is the Mosaic law concerning the observance of the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. "Ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. All right, now here was a custom at the Feast of Tabernacles to take palm branches and to rejoice. I want you to see before who they were rejoicing. Before the Lord your God. The taking of palm branches and the spreading of them down and the rejoicing before was to acknowledge the presence of the Lord their God. All right, now, let's put all of this together. What does all of it mean? What does the colt mean? What do the garments mean? What do the palm branches mean? They mean this. They acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee, is first of all God, and secondly King, thirdly the coming Messiah. He is God as they waved the palm branches before him and rejoiced before him as he came marching into the city. They spread their garments on the donkey and on the road as he came to acknowledge that he was the King. Now we know him as the King of Kings, the King of all kings. And he came lowly and riding upon the colt, the foal of an ass, because he was the Messianic King. He was the Christ. He was the one who had been promised from all eternity. All of these things that we see in the scripture, you see, are significant. They weren't idle things that happened. The people that day, as they celebrated before him as he marched into the city, declared him to be the Christ. Now, I want you to think about this and remember this as we go on and minister in the next few days, and on Thursday, and then again Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And as we think ahead to what happened on Thursday night and on Friday of the week that we're talking about here, that on this particular day, as Jesus Christ came into the city, the people, the multitudes there, were celebrating Jesus Christ of Nazareth as the King. He was the one that they had been waiting for. He was the one who had come to set the people free. He was the one that had come to give deliverance. He was the one who had come to restore the kingdom of David. Now you must understand the Jewish mind at this point. When the Jews came out of Egypt, when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness and 40 years later took the promised land, God was their king. They had no earthly king. God was their king. He was the one that ruled and reigned over them. And if you'll go back to the book of 1 Samuel in the 8th chapter, where the people there, the people of God, the children of Israel, desired to have an earthly king. They didn't want their godly king anymore. They wanted an earthly one. And God told Samuel, "Don't worry about it, Samuel. Go ahead and give them a king, for they have not rejected thee, but they've rejected me." God anointed Saul, the son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, as their king. Subsequently, when Saul displeased God and fell out of favor because of his disobedience, God chose David to be his king. And through the line of David, had promised that there would always be a man on the throne of Israel as king. If you look in the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 7th verse, and then we'll see something else here that was important on that day. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." All right, this is a declaration concerning the coming of the Messiah, that of his government there would be no end, and that he would sit upon the throne of David. Now, if you turn to the book of 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, let me show you just a promise that God had made to his people. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 12, this is God's promises to David. "When thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And then if you look down at the 16th verse, "And thine house," that is the house of David, "and thy kingdom," that is the kingdom of David, "shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." All right, now the Jews knew that it was necessary for a man to be king of the Jews that he come from David, because God had promised that it was David's seed that was going to sit on the throne of Israel forever and ever. All right, now let's examine back in Matthew again, where we were reading before, what happened on Palm Sunday. Let's read there at verse 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the one who is sitting on the throne of David. Hosanna to David's son, the descendant from David, the one who God has called to be the king. And this word Hosanna, we sing about it. It's a word that literally means save. Save now, or oh save. I like the rendering of it, oh save, because it's easy to remember. Hosanna, oh save. Jose, oh save. Jose, oh save. Hosanna, oh save. So the crowds cried out that day, save, oh save, Son of David. We recognize you as our king. Now save us. Come to our rescue. We're here under this awful Roman oppression. We are here under this tyranny. Oh, save us, Son of David. Here are our clothes for you to sit on. Here is the colt of our best donkey for you to ride on. Here are our palm leaves that we wave and rejoice at before you. Now save us. Now deliver us. Now set us free. Now set your kingdom up over us. Now, 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 now. Save us now, O King. That's what happened on that day. Now they maybe weren't as loud as I am. They maybe didn't stomp their feet. But the reason I stomp my feet is I don't have any palm branches. Save us now, King. You're our king. If you look over in the 12th chapter of the book of John, we'll not refer to it this morning, but if you look over there, about the 40th verse, you'll see why they were shouting, why they were excited. This crowd followed Jesus from Bethany. Just a short while before, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. He had performed one of the greatest miracles that had ever been recorded. A man 4 days stinking in the tomb, and Jesus commanded him with the words of his mouth, Lazarus, come forth. And the man came out with a grave clothes straggling off his body. And the crowds that saw that said, this is the one. This must be he. And because of his miracles, they began to follow after him. And as he rode into Jerusalem that day, that is the crowd that was there, that was crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you recognize it or not, but we read that same phrase out of the 118th Psalm. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of God. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of our Jehovah. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of God Almighty. You are the one, they cried as he came riding into the city. But they didn't know, did they? They didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't know he is the king. He really is the King of Kings. He really is God in the flesh. He really is the mighty warrior. He really is worthy of their worship and of our praise. He really is king above all. But not the way the people thought he should be. When he came into Jerusalem, he began to teach the children in the temple. He sat gently in the temple and instructed the children. He ministered concerning the things that were to come. He shared the truth of God's kingdom. He didn't come with a sword. He came with the word of God. And when he would not throw over the Roman oppressor, when he would not throw off the conditions of his day, but rather came in gentleness and in lowliness and in meekness, the same crowd that waved the palm branches, the same crowd that laid down their clothes, the same crowd that shouted Hosanna is the crowd that shouted crucify him. Away with him. Give us Barabbas. Crucify him. Because he does not meet my idea of what a king ought to be. He's not like I thought a king was going to be. I've changed my mind about him. That's not the kind of king I want. I believe that the question that God has for us today is this. Is Jesus the kind of king you want? Or shall he send another? Is Jesus of Nazareth an adequate king? Does he meet your approval? Is Jesus of Nazareth okay with you? Or shall he send another? Is Jesus all right? Or shall he send another one? I think I know what you say. I say Jesus is all right. I say he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Whether he's riding the donkey with clothes that are given, or whether he's riding the great white horse with a vesture on him dipped in blood and with the name Faithful and True written upon it, and coming in the glory and the power of God, Jesus Christ is the King. He is the King. He is the King. He is the King. He's the King. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King. He came like a king. He served like a king. He died like a king. And he's reigning and ruling like a king. And let us not judge the true king by earthly kings. Amen? Amen? Let's judge the true king by the king's word. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. Amen? Let us pray. Hallelujah. 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 We know you are the King, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We submit to your authority and to your reign willingly. You're a good and beneficent King. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we ask you today that if there be someone in the auditorium that has not made you king in his own life and has not surrendered or yielded to your kingship, you're the king whether we acknowledge it or not because you declared it. But we know that your word says that we must willingly submit to your authority, to your rule. There be one here today, Lord, that either has not heard the message or has resisted it previously. It has not yielded to your kingship, to your authority and your reign. We ask you to cause by your Holy Spirit today, right now, even as we're praying, to cause conviction to come, to cause yieldedness to come, to cause humility to come, and to cause an openness to the entry of Jesus Christ into the heart in the same way he entered into the city of Jerusalem, with waving palm branches, with the clothing and our possessions thrown at his feet, that he might come and rule and reign there in every heart. We pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, the Word of God says that he's coming again. When he comes this next time, he'll not come on a donkey. He'll come on a white horse. The Word does not say he'll have a silver-studded saddle, but it wouldn't surprise me. He'll come in glorious apparel, not that of a common man, but that of a king. He'll come with a name on him that nobody knows but him. And he'll come with the saints of God, all of his glory and all of his power. If you're not ready to meet him, if you're not ready for him to come, you can get ready today. And you get ready by inviting him to come into your heart. Just ask him to come into your heart. He said that he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Ask him today. Become a child of the King. In Jesus' name I invite you. James, would you come and let's sing the, what's the number of that song? 313, the King is coming.
Hallelujah. Y'all stand.
Thank you.
Amen.
The key question today is, are you ready when the King comes?
Amen.
Amen. If you're not ready, you better get ready, because the King is coming. He's coming any day. And it's easy to get ready. And that is, just invite him to come into your heart. Ask him to come in, and then when he comes in person, you'll not be embarrassed, nor ashamed, nor confounded. Come unto him today if you don't know him. And if you don't know him today, I ask you to speak with me after the service, and let me pray with you, and let me talk with you, and share with you. It's easy to allow the King to come into your heart. You just invite him in. Praise God. Let's give the Lord thanks for the service this morning. Our Father, we do thank you for the privilege of praising you and for sharing your word. We thank you for meeting the needs of your people today, Father, and for your forgiveness. We thank you for your salvation, Father, and for your joy that cometh and overfloweth. We thank you, Father, for the peace that passes all understanding, and for the assurance that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We praise you, our Father, for your presence among us and for your ministry to us. We ask you now to give us opportunities to serve you and show us the paths that you'd have us to walk on, Lord. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed in God's great love. Hallelujah.